Friends, will you pray with me? Oh, God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the face of it all, Jesus chose love. In the face of death, love. In the face of betrayal, love. In the face of a friend, love. In the face of a stranger, love. In every turn, in every circumstance, love. Sometimes that love looked like healing, like removing barriers between people and their neighbors. Sometimes that love looked like justice, like removing barriers between people and their God. Sometimes rescuing from shame, sometimes feeding 5,000, sometimes walking on water, sometimes water into wine, sometimes resurrection. Always and always and always love. When Jesus gathered with the 12 for the last time, that was what he wanted them to remember. Not the wedding at Cana, not his nocturnal perambulations on the Sea of Galilee, but love. Love that meets road-worn feet with soothing oils and compassion. Love that meets the deception of Judas by feeding him. Love that meets his own impending death with provision for his friends. We're remembering the Last Supper tonight as part of our journey through Holy Week. In the story we tell every week, this is the Thursday night when things look grim. And Jesus gathers with the 12 in an upper room. This is his last chance to teach them anything, his last opportunity to slip in some wisdom for the days and weeks and years ahead. This is it. The time is now. And the thing that he wants them to know is that they should love one another as he has loved them. He's being deliberate here. Even if one might kind of, sort of, wish that he might make a different choice. He tells the disciples he's letting them in on the whole plan, that everything that has been made known to him from the Father, they know. And that the honeycomb secret is love. We can be excused. Perhaps the disciples can be excused for maybe being just a tiny bit disappointed. Disappointed and maybe even a little bit scared that Jesus' last and best advice on a night when Roman centurions were coming included no concrete plans for their defense. Earlier in the meal, he had told them he was to be betrayed and handed over. Soon he'll tell them that he will die, that they will grieve him, and the days will come when people will kill them too. And think that they are offering service to God. That's scary news. Especially if you were hoping instead for the news that a cache of shields and swords were hidden somewhere near the Garden of Gethsemane. Or maybe an update from Simon that there was a band of his fellow zealots who were on the way armed and ready to rescue the 12. One might be forgiven for holding out a tiny speck of hope that the final big reveal might be that the woman at the well in Samaria was such a good evangelist that there was a whole uncountable crew of Samaritans riding in to save the day. We and they can be excused for hoping that a last-minute rescue might come for Jesus and the 12. Surely, surely they are as important as protecting the bridegroom from shame at Cana when water turns to wine. Surely Jesus' safety is worth more than a few thousand hungry bellies by the Sea of Galilee. Surely worth more than loaves and fish. Surely Jesus is worth more than walking on water. Surely some tiny, treacherous part of someone's brain whispers, surely. Surely Jesus is worth more than Lazarus. Lazarus, who he brought back from the dead, who was just a man. Surely there will be a miracle. A last-minute miracle. A deus ex machina, Pats versus Falcons, come from behind victory for the 12th. One that brings healing and rescue and justice. That's not what Jesus offers them. He offers no quick fix, no 11th hour magic, no tactical rescue for the few. What he offers them instead is the only long-term solution that will ever truly work. The only real fix, the only real path to repair and restoration, the only power that might protect through suffering and disarm hate. He offers them love. The Last Supper miracle is this, from the lips of God incarnate. I choose to love you. I choose you. Not to be sheltered from suffering, not to know only mercy, not to always be spared shame, but to know what it is to be loved. You, gathered here tonight around this table, are more than believers, more than the crowd. You are friends. The miracles you speak of were acts of love so that people might believe. You are friends of God. You do not just believe, but know. Know everything that I have heard from my Father. Know me after long days and with road-worn feet. Know what life laid down looks like in real time. You are beloved friends. Companions for fireside questions and nights spent staring at the stars. Co-conspirators in turning water to wine and in gathering up the crumbs and pieces after feeding the 5,000. You are the ones whose eyes I catch, whose sorrows I share, the ones with whom I weep and laugh, with whom I break bread and drink wine. You are my friends. And facing danger, for to love in this world is to open oneself up to suffering. You are the ones who will know in your bones that love is the only force that will see you through. To be a friend of God, to gather around this table, is to know love. Love that is no guarantee of protection or mercy or life free from pain, but is the only true defense against systems that seek death, is the only power which can disarm one who seeks to hurt or dehumanize. When Jesus gathers with the 12, he shows them how he loves them so. And tells them life lived in love is to bear that same fruit. He's giving them and us not a last-minute rescue, but a long-term plan. A way to live in the world as it is, a way to love it towards the world we wish it to be. It's so simple. Love others so that others might love. It will ask your whole life. Love others so that others might love. It's not a shallow or slick kind of love. It's not love that seeks to devour or to control. It's not the thing we sometimes call love, rooted in insecurity or fear. It's not selfish or self-serving. It's not your thriving at the cost of mine. It's love. Actual break bread together on our knees, love. When Jesus eats with the 12, he washes their feet. He feeds them. He holds their stories and their fears and shares what he knows in return. He loves them and asks that they and we might love in such a way too. Love in a way that lays down one's life in real and concrete ways. Love in ways that seek the good of the other for their flourishing and yours. Love in ways that show up with an open hand and a loaf of bread, with time for a chat and no stakes on the outcome. It's love that trusts that loved people love people, and that love will roll down like water. Person to person, stranger to friend, and friend to beloved, until it sets us all free. In the face of it all, even to the end, Jesus chose love. May we, friends of God gathered at this table, go and do